What does the Bible say about that? It's been our series on Wednesday night. So far, we've had a lesson on friendship, what the Bible says about friendship, what the Bible says about anger. Last week, we had a lesson on what does the Bible say about attitude. And tonight, I've been wanting to preach a message about this subject, and then I had a request come in that will somewhat touch this subject tonight, and so asked God if he would give me permission to preach this, and he did. And so I want to preach a message tonight, I forgot to write a word down here, on the subject of what does the Bible say about your appearance? I didn't ask what you thought about your appearance. I didn't ask what your neighbor thinks about your appearance. I was telling the guys in the office that they might want to stop by the bathroom before I preach this message to enhance their appearance. Appearance is an important part of our life. As I began to search the scriptures for the word appearance and appearing and so on and so forth, I found that it is a multifaceted subject. And I did not know the depth of what the Bible has to say about your appearance. Well, Pastor, I'm doing the best I can. This is what God gave me, and this is what you're going to get. All right? It's not solely talking about our physical appearance, although we will look at that. But it encompasses much more about our lives. And truth be told, most people are concerned about their appearance. So, my girls, this past week, Dad, we're out of makeup. Now, makeup to a man should only be a couple of bucks. $60 later in a little tiny bag. We're good. I said, what do you mean you're good? Makeup is expensive. If you have daughters that are headed toward teenage, if I was you, I would start saving now. And we buy the cheap stuff. Don't tell them that, but I only buy the cheap stuff. Appearance. Spend a lot of time on our appearance. Judged by our appearance. Emotionally encouraged in your appearance, or a bad hair day? I'm so glad those days are behind me in that bad hair day. Self-conscious. I was a little self-conscious as a teenager. I know what it was to be conscious about your looks, and I had very dry skin, and sometimes that would magnify itself in my body, and I went through things with teenagers just like everybody else does. I know what it is to be self-conscious about your appearance. Pastoring helps you get over that, though, because I stand at the door, and some of you precious godly people walk out and say, oh, Pastor, or what's on your face? Yeah, I'm sorry, I have a blemish here, you know. So you get over appearance. Appearance has the ability to make you think bad thoughts about yourself. Appearance has the ability to make you stay home. Appearance has the ability to make you depressed, encouraged. Appearance has the ability to cause you to spend money or not spend money. Appearance has a pretty big grip on our life. Appearance helps us to judge ourselves in relation to other people. It's funny, we all think we look better than we really are. Amen. Amen. So let's say a little bit about what the Bible says about appearance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is a powerful chapter. These are the parting words of this book that the Apostle Paul is writing. And he's writing in verse number 14, and you see that he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren." Verse number 12, he says, "And we beseech you, brethren." Verse number 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together." He's speaking to the church here. And he's getting ready to give a closing to this book. And in the process of giving a closing, he gives some exhortation. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren," verse 14, "warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing," excuse me, "in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good." And would you read verse 22 out loud together with me, please? "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So in Paul's closing of this book, and in the exhortation of the church, he brings into it appearance. And so you may know this verse or be familiar with this verse, but this is the exhortation that you and I as believers in our lives are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, this is admonition to the church. And so you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility in our lives to let nothing in our lives or about our lives appear to be evil. Well, Pastor, it's not my problem what they think. The Bible doesn't tell them to address their thought process. The Bible tells me that I am to regard appearance. Now, if you are to abstain from an evil appearance, then if there is an evil appearance, then in order for there to be an evil appearance, there must be a good appearance. So you have a good appearance and an evil appearance. We have a holy appearance. We might have a sinful appearance. And this is part of our lives. And so the exhortation here is that you and I are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Why, Pastor, would that be such a burden to me? Now, here we go. You ready? Warm your fingers up. Make your way to 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. 1 Samuel's in the Old Testament back here. Come back. Don't worry. We're headed everywhere. We're headed to the women tonight. We're headed to the men. We're headed to the transgender. The Bible says a lot about appearance. 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is when Samuel is anointing David, okay, and to be king. And verse number 7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." This was his admonition to who he was to look for. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward," what? "Appearance. But the Lord looketh on the" what? "The heart." Okay. So one of the reasons, Christian, that your appearance is so important to God is because that really is what the world sees. That really is also what fellow believers see. And so the Bible says that man concentrates on our appearance. Now, God himself, he doesn't concentrate so much on our appearance. He concentrates on our heart. So if somebody looks at you, then there has the ability to appear righteousness, or there has the appearance of evil. And for God's children, it ought to matter what your appearance is like. And so God says, now man has this focus solely on our outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And the reason that God looks there is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 12. Go with me. I'm building a case. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 12. Back to the New Testament here. When you come to chapter 5, one of the great chapters of the Bible, Paul is letting us know something about appearance. When you come to verse number 12, he says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in," what's that word? Appearance. "And not in" what? "Heart." So Paul says, now we're going to give you an occasion here. There's some people that glory in their appearance, but they don't glory in their heart. And if you can glory in your appearance and not have a heart to back that up, then appearance can be deceitful. Okay? Now, this works both ways. This works where there can be an appearance of righteousness when really there's an unholy motive, or there can be a righteous motive that can appear evil. So sometimes you can get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, and sometimes you can have this outward manifestation of righteousness, but my heart not be right. And then there's sometimes where my heart might be right, but my appearance might give somebody an opportunity to speak evil of my good. That's why the Bible says, "Let no man speak evil of your good." So it goes both ways. I told you a story one time about going to a Miami Hurricane game where we stopped to get drinks. This was back when you couldn't take them in, so you had to sneak them in. And we had a seat, and they had a little tube there. They were going to sneak some drinks in. And, "Hey, Tom, buy us a beer." And I know I wasn't going to buy him a beer. Got in that gas station, walked by that beer counter, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to play a joke on these fellas. I'm going to come out of here with a can of beer. And so I walked to the thing. I went to reach for the thing, and all of a sudden it was like the Spirit of God said, "What are you doing?" And I said, I was going to buy beer and take it out there for a joke. He said, "Get away." Took two steps back. Walked over, laid all my Cokes on the counter. As soon as I laid all my Cokes on the counter, in walked the church gossiper. I literally walked out of that thing and I lifted up my hands and I said, "Thank you, God." So I didn't have a sinful motive, but my appearance was getting ready to do that. So your appearance can be deceitful. It can be deceitful either way. That's why your appearance should be important to you. And it should be important to you because man looks on the outward appearance. Appearance can be deceitful. Matthew, you don't turn there, but if you write down Matthew 23, verse number 27, then you will find that Jesus accused the hypocrites of a false appearance. And they were one thing on the outward and another thing on the inside. And so I would just kind of ask you, have you ever thought about your appearance when you go to work? What kind of appearance do you give? When you're in a certain situation, what are you appearing to be? Now, as I dug into the scripture, I found that appearance is tied to women. Appearance is tied to men. Appearance is tied to gender. Appearance is tied to cleanliness, and I think a little bit in a church appearance here, I'll talk a little bit about that, and then it's tied to the Lord. And so, ladies, give me a moment to talk to you about your appearance, and I just want you to see what the Bible says about your appearance. So go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pastor, you always start with the ladies. Well, I don't know why that is other than you're special. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what the Bible says about a woman's appearance. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He's writing here in regards to his leadership as a pastor. In verse number 7, he says, "I'm an ordained preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, or faith and truth. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in, what's that word, class? Modest apparel. Have you ever heard that a woman is to dress modestly? Okay, preacher, I've heard it and I'm sick of it. Well, I understand. Now, understand this. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible tell a man to dress modestly. Modesty is totally tied to a woman. Now, I've seen some men running in some jogging shorts that should have had some modesty. Okay. All right. So, women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Well, I brought out my rules here that I think you should abide by. And I have a measurement here of where your skirt should be and your top should be and all of this. And I think these are biblical and you should live your lives according to my modest rules. And all the women said, no way. But I kind of grew up in a culture where, and I grew up in a church where if you didn't fit the church standards, you weren't modest. And real and truthfully, all that did was breed bitterness and false appearance. And we got to be careful about that. So the verse has some depth to it, and we need to make sure we understand what the verse is saying here. So when you go to the verse number 9, it says, adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Well, that's with a little bit of embarrassment. That's with a little bit of discretion. That's with a little bit of secretness there. Now, we live in a society where women are bold and they don't have any shamefacedness to them. And some of the things you see ladies wear in public, you understand that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Some sobriety there with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, he's not saying that you can't do any of those things, braid your hair, comb your hair, wear some pearls or do anything like that. He's not talking about that. Here's the key in verse number 10. And he says in verse 9, adorn yourselves, and he picks up in verse number 10, but which becometh women, what are those two words? Professing godliness with good works. So ladies, that really and truthfully is your standard of modesty. Your standard of modesty is, in your appearance, professing godliness. Well, Pastor, this outfit makes me look good. No problem. No problem. It ought to make you look good. Seen plenty of them that don't. Look at verse number 10. Which becometh women professing godliness with good what? With good works. So there should be a goodness about your attire, but it shouldn't be something that per se enhances a physical part of your body. The number one goal of a woman in her dress, in her appearance, is that what I'm putting on professes godliness. And so the Spirit of God ought to have some play here. So when ladies, when you stand in front of a mirror in a dressing room, it's one thing to think, okay, this looks okay on me, fine. But another question ought to be, is what I'm wearing professing godliness? Amen? Now, I can't tell you that. I'm not your Lord. Sometimes I see things and I think, ooh, I wish they wouldn't do that. Not because it doesn't necessarily fit or whatever, but just because it doesn't profess godliness. But modesty deals with godliness, and you're constantly thinking about that. Now, I know where you're going in our thought process, because this is where human mind goes. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Don't worry, man. I'm going to get you in a moment about you wearing your dresses. 1 Peter chapter 3. Pastor, When I hear the word modesty, I think head to toe covered in Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, look if you would at verse number 3, speaking of a lady here. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. He's not against makeup. He's not against hair. He's not against that. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Your dress ought to reflect a meek and quiet spirit. It ought to reflect a spirit of godliness. Now, it can do that, which in the sight of God is of great price. Verse number 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So ladies, I just want you to kind of get a mental picture here of the outfits that Sarah would wear. How stylish do you think that would be today? Not. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your appearance as a lady. He's not saying that a lady cannot be stylish. He's not saying even that a lady can't be sensual. Okay? I guarantee you Sarah was pretty sensual. She got that 99-year-old man fired up. Okay? So, what he's saying about a modesty is that a true godly woman is beautiful spiritually first. And then that beauty radiates in her spirit and radiates in everything that she does. And so as she's choosing clothing, she should be choosing clothing that professes godliness. Now, there's a certain time for certain clothing. You don't wear your church dress down to the beach. There's times to wear a swimsuit. There's times that you wear whatever fits the moment. But everything that you put on needs to fit within the purpose, and then it also needs to fit within the realm of godliness. So you may go to the beach, and you may wear a swimsuit that's fitting at the beach, and then you may go on some private thing with your husband, and you have a different approach to that. Fine. No problem. But you don't wear something that should be for your husband down to Fort Lauderdale Beach. It's godly for you to have a swimsuit at Fort Lauderdale Beach that's fitting for the Lord, and it's godly for you to have a swimsuit or something that fits for your husband. By the way, when a woman loses her sensuality, she's close to losing her man. Well, Pastor, I'm old. Well, if you're old, your man's probably old, so it's limited there. But... ooh, ladies, you better hear me. And I'm the pastor and I'm a man, so I can speak for all of us. As long as our eyes work, we notice sensuality. Telling you the truth. I think in public, a Christian woman professes godliness, and you better dress like that. But you better have also some sensuality and some things with your husband. You're welcome for that. Pastor, are there different attire for different occasions? Yeah, you may go out in something that you would not wear to church. Understand, as long as that fits that occasion, it professes godliness, and so on and so forth. But most of the styles today profess sinful sexuality. No Christian woman ought to dress with sinful sexuality. Okay? And you need to learn and teach this. Go to Isaiah chapter 3. I can picture, even though this is not a particular woman, it's about Israel. The Lord depicts these women of Israel, and you can just kind of picture them walking around. Verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. You can just see them prancing in their haughtiness with their necks stretched up. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a, say that word, a scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, these are all part of their dress for their body. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, rings, and nose jewels. They had nose jewels back in the Bible. The changeable suits of apparel and mantles and wimples and the crisping pins and the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a what? A stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. I don't even know what all this is, to be honest with you, but it's kind of fun to read. And burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy might in the war, and her gate shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate. I know what he's saying there. He's saying, don't put too much satisfaction into your physical beauty. Put more of it into your spiritual beauty. Women, you need to understand something about a man too. A man notices physical beauty. He does. He's a man. He was made to notice that. But as a man grows, and especially as he grows in the Lord, spiritual beauty does surpass physical beauty in a man's mind. It does. A man's wife becomes beautiful to him in multiple facets. Now, he's always going to care about the sensuality. He's a man. But the other parts begin to take on tremendous beauty as well. And sometimes a woman can think she looks beautiful and she stinks. And it's not that she stinks physically. She just stinks in her aura. She stinks in her attitude. She stinks in these kind of things. You ought to have some attention to your appearance and modesty. It ought to profess godliness. But the number one appearance you ought to care about is your spirit before God. Amen? Okay. I'll move from the ladies. I'll move to the men. Now, men, I couldn't find a lot about appearance of a man, thank God. But I found two verses I wanted to bring to you. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. I don't hear a single man turning his Bible pages. What time is it? Oh, we're doing good. 2 Samuel 14. This is a passage about Absalom. You know, Absalom was deceitful in his heart. You know that he was a rebellious young man. He died a fool. He tried to murder his own dad. And we learned a little bit about Absalom here in verse number 25 of chapter 14. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his, what's that word? Beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. He was a perfect man in his beauty. And when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he displayed it. His hair was his beauty mark. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born three sons and one daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. Now, Absalom died a fool, and he died in a rebellious position against God and against his dad. One of the difficulties that Absalom had was he had pride in his appearance. Now, it's one thing men to want to have a decent physical appearance. It's another thing to have it at the root cause of pride. And I think that we need to be careful in our appearance for our pride. Now, we make a big deal about women wanting to look good, but men want to look good too. Pastor, my man don't want to look good. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. But you start taking pride in your physical appearance and you neglect the spirit part of your life, and you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. It's no problem to want to look good for the Lord. You ought to want to have an appearance that looks good for the Lord. You ought to want to look good for your wife. You ought to want to look good maybe for your health or something like that. But you don't want pride and vanity to get into your heart. God hates pride. And when pride gets in there, you're in trouble. You don't have to turn there, but write 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 14 down. The Bible says it's a shame that nature even teaches it's a shame for men to have long hair. And I'll let you battle that out. I don't necessarily know what long is. They used to say if you had hair on your collar, you had sin in your heart. But I don't think that's in the Bible. But there's a vanity to our looks. Okay, men, I hate to open up this can of worms, but I'm going to open it up because I feel like tonight's more of a counseling session than anything. The number one woman you ought to want to please with your looks is your wife. The number two woman you ought to want to please with your looks is your wife. The number three woman you ought to want to please with your looks is your wife. Do I have to go to 1 billion or do you get the point? Okay. Wives, better brag on your man. Better tell him he looks good. Pastor, he doesn't look good. Take him shopping. Do something. It does affect a man if a woman thinks that he's handsome. And a man does want to think that he's good looking. It's part of his nature, just like it is for you, ladies. So you better give some attention there. Somebody's getting a phone call. Okay, I thought the Lord was breaking into my message. All right. Men, you know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about. And I would just say this. If you're concentrating on more of what some other woman thinks about your appearance than your own wife does, you're on a dangerous road. A dangerous road. Okay. A woman's appearance, modesty, professing godliness. Don't lose your sensuality. Don't lose that with your husband. There's times when you have to wear certain different outfits for different things. That's fine. It's not where you're going to wear a burlap sack your whole life. Nothing wrong with style. Nothing wrong with doing something that's like that. Nothing wrong with those things. But the number one person you care about is God. It's your appearance. You're professing godliness. When you look in the mirror at Macy's, you say, God, are you pleased with what I'm wearing? Amen. Men, pride. Be careful about it. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5. This ought to be a verse that you underline and highlight in your Bible. This ought to be a verse that you find. You're going to need it in the day in which we live in. This is Moses writing this book. Verse number 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a, say it, man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are, what's that word? Abomination unto the Lord thy God. What's he talking about here? All the way back in the beginning of Israel, they had a problem with transgenderness. Sin has been sin forever, people. Just because we're dealing with it in our culture now does not mean that it hasn't been on the earth forever. So let's understand what he's talking about here. He's not talking, saying, ladies, that you can't wear pants. I grew up in a culture where if a lady wore a pair of pants to church, she was wicked. I just grew up like that. It wasn't so much where my dad was, but it was in the realms of my... It's not saying... There are times that certain dress is fitting, okay? He's not talking about individual items here. He's talking about a way of life. And what he's saying is that women are not to dress like men and men are not to dress like women. And everyone that does is an abomination. Now, did we read that from the Bible? Yes or no? So that's not just a Baptist opinion. That's not just that, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Go to the book of Romans. You'll read the, kind of the same deal about that. And we won't go there right now, but you'll understand it. So we have this big battle now. And, of course, Target has made everything in the news lately. And the world's trying to accommodate people who don't understand their gender because they deny God the Creator. All right? God created us male and female, and I don't care how much a male wants to be a female, he'll never be it. Cut, burn, do whatever you want to do. Reshape your body, reshape your mind, reshape the culture, make laws, change your bathroom, do whatever. God made you a man, you'll stand before God as a man. Okay? Same thing with a woman. So, it's an abomination for a woman to appear like a man. And it's an abomination for a man to appear like a woman. Let me talk to parents a little bit. Don't put your boy, your baby boy, in girls' clothing. From the very time that your kids are born, be careful about how you dress a boy and be careful how you dress a girl. Be careful what toys you let them play with. Be careful in the approach that you direct them. Children need to be trained. Okay? Now, we have sinful natures, and so sometimes that sinful nature will be curious, and sometimes that sinful nature will want to veer off in a direction, and a parent's responsibility is to train their kid. Make sure that your boy dresses like a boy. Okay? So, I have a son, and, you know, sometimes the culture, our culture wants to effeminize every man. And so you turn on television and these men are dressing what I'll call soft raiment or soft clothing or effeminate clothing. And it's all billboard and everything. You're cool if you do this or whatever. And you go into Macy's or whatever and you got all this kind of stuff. And so our poor teenage boys, what are they supposed to do? I'll tell you exactly what they're supposed to do. They need a dad to say, no, boy, that looks like girls' clothing. Let's go over here and try this on. Okay? Well, man, that's not popular or not whatever. Who cares? It's the word of God. Don't let your girls, be careful, make them dress effeminate. Make them dress in that direction. Point them that way. You know, sometimes you have to do a unisex kind of clothing, but I'm careful about unisex clothing. I want it to say boy for boy and girl for girl. Pastor, you're weird. You know, I don't think I'm weird. I think the word of God is eternal. Okay? Dad. You had better be involved in the dress habits of your child. Okay? My wife and I, we go, I hate to go shopping, but I'll go. Okay? And I have the final say. And sometimes the girls will come out and they'll say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? No, I don't embarrass them. I don't do all that. No. Sometimes, okay. Whatever, but I don't. If they bring something home and I'm not there, try it on. Let me see it. Why? Because I want to see it. Try it on, Pastor. They got to learn to do things themselves. Whatever. Listen, it's my responsibility as a parent to train my kid. It's your responsibility. Dad, if you let your daughter leave dressed inappropriately or dressed in a position where she can get hurt, that's on you. That's lazy parenting. And don't let the whining of your children. Now, I don't think you ought to make them dress like Sarah in the Bible. But a man recognizes sensuality as soon as he sees it. Man, every woman better hear me. You can be talking to five women, and a man can point out the one that's sensual in a moment. Just like that. That's how God made us. So when your daughter walks in front of you, and you sense that something's wrong there, buddy, you better say, wait a minute, we care about the Spirit of God. Amen. Okay? I'm doing a great job tonight. Okay. So let's talk about taking a shower. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And I want to make one final point on this. Point about your kids. Men, sometimes you got to tell your wife just to back down. Now, if I was you, I would do it with a catcher's mask on. Women, you got to listen to your man. When your man says, no, let's not do that, you'd be foolish to try to defend your kid. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 8. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no what? Ointment. What's he saying? He's saying you ought to wear clean clothes, you ought to take a bath. So your appearance ought to be a clean appearance as a Christian. And I don't think that needs a lot of preaching. I want to make an application. I'm trying to apply to everything here. Let me speak to my young parents. Keep your children clean. Sometimes, I understand a kid's going to get dirty and you can't wash your kid every day, but I see sometimes the way that kids look and I think, where's their mom and dad? A kid ought to have a bath once in a while. The kids' clothes ought to be cleaned once in a while. You ought to care about the appearance of your family, mom and dad. If they need new clothes, they need new clothes. If their clothes need to be pressed or ironed, they need to be pressed or ironed. If they need something, we live in a bum culture, and I mean, they wear their pants down, they do whatever, everybody looks sloppy. We are ambassadors for Christ. So our appearance ought to be clean. Boy, I could preach a lot of message on that, but I'll go on. I'll go to Genesis 41. I want to give you a principle here. I think you could use this for church appearance. In Genesis chapter 41, verse number 14. Joseph is brought out of prison. He's getting ready to meet Pharaoh. Verse 14, it says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself. He changed his raiment. And he came in unto Pharaoh. Now, that's not a verse against mustaches or beards. No problem for facial hair. No problem about that. The principle is this. Joseph is getting ready to meet Pharaoh, and he cleans himself up. I think if we're going to come and worship the Lord, we ought to be cleaned up. Now, I'm okay. It's Wednesday night. We got jeans on, short sleeves on. We come from work. It's a casual situation. Fine. Sunday mornings, we wear suits. Sunday nights, we wear suits. We do whatever. But I just think that before you come to worship the Lord, you ought to swing by some mirror or something and say, hey, listen, I ought to care a little bit about coming to the house of God. Amen? Joseph cleaned himself up before he met Pharaoh. He shaved himself, he put on clean raiment, and he went to make a presentation. I think there is something about church appearance. I'm not saying you got to wear a suit and tie all the time or we got to do that. There's moments where we come in shorts and there's times we do these kind of things. But, man, when you go to church, it ought to just be special in our appearance. Teach your kids that. I'm constantly telling my kids, you're not wearing that to church. You're not wearing that to church. You're not wearing that to church. I go back and forth. I tell the girl, you're not wearing that to church. Tell Tommy, you're not wearing that to church. I tell her, you're not wearing that to church. Whoa, I don't care. Go back in there and put something on that for the Lord. Now, it may be a t-shirt that it's the least clean, okay? But we're going to worship the Lord. That ought to mean something to us, amen? Okay. Well, our Bible says a lot about appearance. All right, we're almost done. Isaiah chapter 1. Go back to Isaiah. We'll finish here. 2 Corinthians, Isaiah 1. Look at verse number 10. He's talking to the nation of Israel again here. He refers to them as Sodom. Isaiah 1 verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. They were involved in sinfulness, man. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Why'd you come to worship me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the callings of assembly, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What are the first two words of verse 16? Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Yeah, we talked about a woman's appearance with modesty, a man's appearance and the lack of pride, a gender appearance, an appearance for cleanliness, an appearance in the church. But listen, there's also an appearance that gets God's attention. And God's telling the nation, now listen, you're offering all this outward sacrifice, but inside you're filthy dirty. What do you think? You think I don't see that? I'm sick of what you're doing. You're over here offering me all these things. I'm sick of that blood. You're over here, and you're waving your hands, and you're making your prayers, and you've got this appearance, but I know your heart. You make me sick. You pray, I'm not going to answer that. You talk to me, I'm not going to respond to that. You cry out, I'm not going to look on that. What's wrong with your heart? You want my attention? Learn to do well. Obey me. Honor me. Worship me. Don't bring me this garbage. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks on the... Is that not powerful verse? Powerful passage. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. It's a lot about appearance. God knows our appearance, whether it's genuine or whether it's deceitful. And then you write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. I'm not going to get there, but one day we're going to appear before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And oh, how we need to be ready for that. So what does the Bible say about your appearance? Well, it says, number one, you're to abstain from all appearance of evil. That ought to hammer on the way we live our lives. I don't go certain places because it could appear evil. I don't do certain things because it can appear evil. I don't do certain things because I'm afraid of that admonition. The Bible says that appearance can be deceitful. Man looks on the outward appearance. God sees the heart. That can go good or bad either way. Women, your appearance needs to be modest, professing godliness. That doesn't mean it's old-fashioned or out of style or not sensual or pretty or whatever. It just means that in all those different occasions, there's godliness being professed there. Men, don't let your appearance be filled with pride. You drive by these gyms and all these men are in there lifting weights looking into these mirrors. I understand maybe for form you got to do that and protection about that, but we need to look into the mirror of the Word of God. Okay? Gender appearance. Bible speaks about it. Clean in our appearance. Understand our church appearance and appearance before God. The Bible says a lot about this subject. Shall we pray?